Welcome to the May 18th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 14, and the sermon is entitled, Redeemed from the Law and Curse, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
I'm grateful today that we are understand and we gather today under the Word of God. Take your Bibles, go to Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3, we stepped out of it last week. And so I'm going to take you 2 weeks back real quick, and we answered the question, can the faithful be fooled? And we looked at the first five verses of chapter 3. We seen the questions that were presented, and we understand too that the faithful in Galatia were being fooled by teachers that have come in and added false truths to the Word of God. And today in our churches, guess what happens? The same thing still happens. People will come in and false truths are added to the Word of God. Now, I'm going to step out of my notes for just a second and just say this. I know that first sermon was very passionate. And I know last week talking about the unity and the need for the church to be unified were very passionate. But here's what I want you to understand where I am coming from when God is dealing with me. And so I want you to know the passion in which I look at Scripture and which God is dealing with me. Some of you are coming from those places of hurt. You understand that. But the passion and the warning in Galatians chapter 3 is this. Be ready because those things can happen to you too. If it can happen in the church in Galatia, it could happen in the church in Clifford. And the warning last week of unity, and the warning through this chapter, chapter number 3, is you better be on the same page. You better take note because guess what? The enemy is prowling. And so with that today, we look at a foundational truth that we are redeemed from the law and the curse. That is the title of our message today. The Galatians have turned back to the law. They've turned away from faith only in Jesus. And they are adding actions to their faith because of these false teachers with Jewish background that have crept into their church. And these teachers are now leading them saying, yeah, you have to have faith, but you also have to have circumcision. You have to observe the feast. If you don't do that, you're not truly saved. And so Paul is defending faith in Jesus Christ alone. And there are three things that we're going to look at together through the Word of God. Now, before I go any further, I want to say this. The rest of this chapter, there are three sermons. And it is hard. It is deep. It is the weeds of the faith. But we've got to plow through it, right? You're going to hear the same message over and over and over that it must be Jesus Christ and Him alone. Put your faith in Jesus, not in anything you can do. So with that said, let's look at Galatians chapter number 3, starting with verse number 6, and we're going to go to verse number 9. Paul writes, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." Point number one that I want you to see today as we talk about redemption coming from the law and from the curse is this, is the case of Abraham. We've got to look at the case of Abraham. Now remember, Paul is defending faith in Jesus alone. And how he begins that defense, he does it by looking at Abraham. It was, remember, a Jewish background believers that had crept into the church, that were adding to faith. And these Jewish-born Christians had influence over the Galatian believers to the point that they were going back to the law and they were trusting the law. But Paul says this, of the great ancestor, the great patriarch of Abraham, Abraham becomes the example of what faith should look like. Look at verse number 6. He says this, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Moses quotes from Genesis here, but also he, as he teaches the church in Rome, in Romans chapter 4, he uses this same statement three other times. But here's the reality. Abraham believed God, and because of that faith in God, the righteousness of God was put on his account. So when you and I trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, the righteousness of God is put on our account, and the sin is no longer seen in the eyes of God. And so what we must realize this is foundational to what we believe. The believer becomes in right standing before a holy God because of his or her faith, because they have faith and faith alone. One of the arguments here that you need to recognize is this: as Abraham lived, the law was not in place. The law was non-existent. And so, simply put, Paul says, as he's defending now, faith alone in the case of Abraham, the law didn't exist when Abraham was alive. He believed and righteousness was put on his account. He was in right standing before a holy God. So we see that faith part, but there's another part of this promise. Look at verse number 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So you've got to have faith in Jesus, and that faith allows you to be righteous or in right standing in the eyes of God. But it also, not only faith, but you become part of the family. You become part of the family. How many of you, when you go to church, feel like you're part of the family of God? Amen? That's an important part of why we do and why we gather and why we worship and why I believe every person should be part of a local church, is because it is the family of God. But here, what makes someone a child of Abraham or a child in the line of Abraham? Remember, God promised him that he would be the father of many nations. And the Jewish people thought, because of their background and because they were Israelites, they were automatically grandfathered into the family of Abraham and into the family of God. But it is faith that brings you into the family. I want to say this with the greatest amount of love in my heart. I know around this room there are many faces, many people, many families represented, and I'm grateful that you are here today, but there's one thing that brings you into the family of God. It's not getting into your car and driving to Clifford Baptist Church. That's a wonderful thing, but that doesn't bring you into the family of God. The only thing that brings you into the family of God is your faith in Jesus Christ. And here's where my heart hurts this morning. Because I believe that in this room, and maybe even watching live stream this morning, there are people that are here but are not part of the family of faith. I pray God works on your heart in these moments. God challenges you in these moments and reminds you that it is a blessing to be part of the family of the faithful of God. You cannot get into the family by who you are or where you were born or your last name. I love my two boys to death. But here's the reality. Levi and Ethan will not get into heaven because their dad's a pastor. They will not get into heaven because their parents are good people. They have to make a decision to follow Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Then they become part of the family. And so what we see here is there's no riding of coattails to heaven. You just can't say, I'm kin to Abraham, so I'm part of the family of God. No, it was Abraham's faith that made him part of the family of God, just as today faith in Jesus makes you and I part of God's family. There is a famous saying, and that is saying goes like this: God has no grandchildren. Now you may say, that's horrible. But no, here's the thought process. God only has his children. And so you can't come to God by any connection other than personal connection through Jesus Christ. And you have a one-on-one relationship with your Father. So we see that there is a family there, and the family is important, and you are part of the family because of your faith. But the second part of the family is an expression how that family grows. Look at verse number 8. Here's what it says, "And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed." I never thought my name was in the Bible until I studied this. My name is in this verse. It starts with an H, a heathen. How many of you growing up did your mom say, quit acting like a heathen? I'm not the only one. Okay, I was thinking I was the only one. Heathen is not meant in this context as a terrible, bad person. It's meant somebody outside of the Jewish faith, of the Jewish family, if you will. And so how does the heathen come to the Lord? How does the heathen come to faith? And the answer is in this verse. Verse number 8, it says this, "Foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through what?" What's the next word? Faith. Through faith. The outsiders of Jewish people are now looking at scripture saying, how can God love us? God is not centered on one group of people, one nation of people. The heart of God and the blueprint of God and the blessing of God is this: His love extends to the world. It extends to the Jew and the Gentile. So the idea that the Gentile had to follow Jewish law would be absurd. And Paul says that thought is now destroyed. That is destroyed. You can't expect somebody from a different nation to follow this law. And so the family, as it gets bigger by faith. It is by faith we are blessed the same way that Abraham was blessed in his relationship with God. And to be part of the family, you must do it by faith. Let me put it to you this way. Has anybody ever given you a gift, like a really nice gift, and you felt the need that you owe them something for that gift? Like the gift is too good. Like, I can't accept this. Let me pay you for it. Well, the reality is this. When we do that to a holy God, it's not really a gift. God is saying, here's the greatest gift in all the world. Here is salvation that can be yours. And if you think you can pay God back by doing good and coming to church and doing all these things, it's not really a gift that you have truly accepted. One of the hardest things is when somebody gives me a gift, the church gives me a gift, and I have to accept it, but I feel like I owe them something. And here's what God says. You don't owe me anything. The greatest gift in all the world is yours, free through the blood of Jesus Christ, if you will take it and accept it and live by faith for the rest of your life. So that's the case of Abraham. Look at verses 10 through 12. "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." The second thing that we need to look at today in Paul's defense is this. Is the curse of the law, and that curse of the law simply points us back to Jesus. Paul quotes the law directly from the book of Deuteronomy. And at the end of the reading of the 12 curses, it is the curse that follows every law. As that curse is read, and this is the curse, cursed is the man that doesn't follow every word, every dot of this law. There's a curse there. So you are sitting here this morning, and as you think about the Old Testament law and how many 600 plus that you would have to follow every moment, every day of your life or be cursed, what does that do to you? You feel this curse. Do you see the curse of the law? feeling like I've got to hit this standard or I'm never good enough. And here's what the law shows you. You aren't good enough. You'll never be good enough. I'm not saying to take the Old Testament and throw it out the window. Please don't do that. Here's what the Old Testament does. The Old Testament shows us and points us to the one who came to break the curse. We realize that we are unworthy sinners. We realize by reading the law that we cannot keep it and we need something else. And that something else is someone whose name is Jesus. Look at verse number 10 with me real quick. Here's what it says. For as many as are under the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law and do them. Here's what you need to understand. As doers of the law, you had to do it all. And if you messed up in one point, you were still found guilty. Paul would write to the Corinthian church that there's a sting when death comes, and the strength of that sin is the law. It shows you where you sin. It shows you where you mess up. But he also writes there's a victory. And there's a victory that comes through Jesus Christ. It doesn't come through obeying the law. The curse of the law is this. You can never keep it. And when you fail, you are guilty of death. It is evident. It is obvious. It is proven in times past that you cannot be made right by the law, and the law couldn't justify you. It doesn't mean that you have faith if you just check these boxes. It means that you're doing what you think is right. And we are guilty today of checking the boxes mentally. Have I prayed today? Yes, I got that out of the way. Have I read my Bible? Yeah, I gave the Bible 2 minutes of my Bible study. I did that. Check, it's gone. Did I make it to church? Yeah, I made it to church today. Check. And when we start checking the boxes, it becomes evident that, okay, have we really followed, obeyed the Lord today, or are we just going through the motions? And the motions of the law are a curse. God would have to add a sacrificial system because people could not keep the law as it was written. But here is Paul's argument. He quotes Habakkuk and he says this, the just shall live by, all right, church, let's try that again. I didn't give you a warning. I'll show you grace. The just shall live by faith. Notice it doesn't say the just shall live by the law. It doesn't say just shall live by the rules. Here's what Paul says, the just, those who are justified before a holy God, live by a faith in him, not from a place of fear that you're going to fail and that you can never measure up. And in those moments, I hope that you see what a curse that can feel like. And so, this second warning is a warning for us today in the sense of efforts, intentions, and actions don't take the place of faith in Jesus. I'm going to say that one more time. Effort, intentions, and actions don't replace a faith in Jesus. And so today, as we look at being redeemed, you see the law and the challenges of it. And here's what the law is supposed to do. It is supposed to be a mirror that shows you where you mess up. But the law cannot be kept. And because the law cannot be kept, now the curse of the law, which ultimately is death, comes on those who don't abide by the law. Today, my prayer is this. When we think of coming to church, I went to church growing up because my mama made me. And I'm thankful for that. Hey, mamas, use the strong arm as long as you can. But because mama made me, I went to church. And then I went to church because I felt like I needed to. It felt like the right thing to do. But even then, feeling like it is right is wrong. Going to church just because it feels right is the wrong reason to go. And so today, here's my heartfelt challenge, is that you're here not because somebody made you, not because it feels like, not because it feels right, not because it makes your week go smoother, but you are here to worship the one person whose name is Jesus because you have faith in him. So many people come in and out of the church and don't have that connection with Jesus that brings them there and that keeps them there and allows them to serve there. And so if you don't have a connection with Jesus, you will come and go, you will ebb and flow. It will never be real until you have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. The curse of the law is like standing in front of that mirror, and that mirror shows that you are dirty, but the mirror cannot clean you. It can only show where you are dirty. And so that's what the law does. When you stand before the law, it shows that you cannot keep it, that you are not perfect, but the law cannot save you. It points you to something else, something greater, and his name is Jesus. And so today, if you show up in church and you say, as I look at God's word, it makes me feel dirty. Absolutely. That's what the law does. That's what God's word does. But it points us to Jesus together. We have a curse. And that curse is a weight that many Jewish people continue to carry today. There's one more thing. The greatest part of this message this morning. Look at verses 13 and 14. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The third point today is this, Christ the Redeemer. So we've got to see the case for Abraham. We've got to see the curse of the law, and we've got to see Christ as our Redeemer. So as we look at the law as what it shows us, Paul boils it down to this. You're not going to be able to keep the law. You are a sinner and you are under the curse. But here is the truth of the Bible, the truth of the gospel. Christ has redeemed us from the curse. It is the only way that I can stand before you today is because of Jesus Christ, because of his redemption in my life. But here's what I love about Paul. Paul puts himself in scripture here, as we read in verse number 13, he says, Christ has redeemed us. Paul is including himself. He's not saying here, I'm better than you. I'm more important than you. Listen to what I say. Hey, here's the reason I'm here, because Christ has redeemed us. And I stand before you to say this today. I'm no better than any one person in this room. I stand before God redeemed just as you do. Not because anything that we do, not because of family ties, not because of nationality, but simply put, because of Jesus Christ. And as we look in verse number 13, what does that word redeemed mean? Here's what it means. It is connected to the idea of slavery in this day. And as if someone would redeem a slave, they would go and they would purchase that slave. They would pay the price. Instead of taking ownership of that slave, they would set the slave free. So the slave would be redeemed because somebody paid the price to set them free. So when you see this word redeemed, that's exactly what we are talking about. Jesus was made the curse for us. And under those words, we see that he also redeemed us. How did he redeem us? He redeemed us, as verse number 13 says, he was made a curse, and cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. This morning, what is the price for your faith? What is the price for your life? What is the price for your soul? If you could put a number on it, how much would you charge to spend a little time with you? How much would somebody pay for you to redeem you from the curse of sin? Here's the truth of the Bible. Jesus paid the price. No matter how much, the greatest thing in all the world is that Jesus died on the cross to redeem every one of you. And that you would live the rest of your days in this world by faith, living for Him. Are you blessed today? If I ask you that question, are you blessed? You would answer with a yes, right? Here's the second part. Are you redeemed? As we opened up the service today and Buddy read the scripture, maybe it went over your head, maybe it didn't. Here's what the scripture said. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Today, you know if you've been redeemed. You know if you carry the baggage and the bondage of the curse of sin or not. Today, the reality is this. You can be freed from that through Jesus Christ and the price that He paid as He redeemed your life. He paid the price so then He could set you free from sin. What a relationship. The greatest relationship in all the world is the one with Jesus. Today, are you trying to be good enough? Are you trying to earn God's love at the expense of your own sanity? Are you trying to fix yourself? Here's the reality. As you stand in front of that mirror, as you stand in front of the Word of God, it shows us that you are dirty. It shows me that I am dirty, but it also shows me there's somebody that can clean you up. And it's not a church that cleans you up. It's not a good friend that cleans you up. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. And today, if you will let Him do His work in your life, you will be redeemed for eternity. Praise be to God for His work. Do you see the battle going on in the church in Galatia, where people are trying to earn their way by doing stuff? No, it's through faith in Jesus Christ, and then you lead your life and live your life for Him. Today, if you need Jesus as Savior, here's my hope and prayer. I'm not here to twist your arm. My prayer is in these moments, God is working in your life, and you feel the Holy Spirit telling you, you need to make changes. You need to come to me. You need to trust me. You need to surrender your life. In those moments, the choice is yours and how you answer the Holy Spirit as He is working. Church, the warning for you and I is that we must be very careful, because the false teaching creeps in and then it waters down the gospel message. Jesus saves. That's the message that goes from Clifford Baptist Church. Today, whatever you need, here's what I know. God Almighty will meet you here. The Holy Spirit will meet you in these moments. And I pray that you and God do business now. Let us pray. Father God, Lord, thank You for Your word. Lord, I thank You for truth, and I thank You for hard subject matter, that it challenges us, but it always points us back to You. So God, I want to start out this prayer this morning by praying for those seven churches that I know that are torn to pieces, that are trying to get back on their feet. God, that You will go before each situation of disunity, of disfellowship. And God, that You will make a way in Your bride. God, I pray that you will protect this bride. And Lord, as we look at the hard truth today, that as we look at ourselves in that mirror, we see that we are imperfect people and that we will never be able to faithfully follow you by the law, by the rules. Praise be to God for Jesus Christ, who redeemed us from the curse and from the law. Today, if there's somebody that needs to come to him in faith, Holy Spirit, I pray that you will work on that heart in these moments. God, we give you this time. We pray that you lead us in these moments as we look forward to a business meeting. And God, that thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.